Hi everybody, it's Jason. Well, we have reached the end of Anthology Reissue Week. Hopefully you're all enjoying Anthology 1, 2, 3, 4 and all the remastered shows on streaming. We have been putting out some of our old Anthology content and today we have a piece from an interview we did with Kevin Godley back in October 2020. And Kevin has obviously had a hugely long and varied career with 10cc and Godley and Cream and making videos and making albums. But one of the things he also did was the video for Real Love back in 1996. So he's going to talk about that and a few other bits and pieces here. An interesting fact about this episode was that I was extraordinarily excited to meet Kevin Godley. And you can hear that in how fast I talk during the introduction that I do before he comes on to talk to us. And he was a very, very nice guy. We could have talked to him for a very long time. If you are new to Nothing Is Real, go to www.nothingisrealpod.com and find out all our old episodes and what we're all about. And even if you're old to Nothing Is Real, you can go back and enjoy them all again. And as I like to say, we remain available in the usual places. There is a Nothing Is Real Facebook group, and we're on Blue Sky and Instagram and Mastodon and Threads and most of the usual places. So let's end Anthology Reissue Week with a few wise words from Kevin Godley.
Nothing Is Real, a Beatles podcast, is powered by Acast.
Welcome to Nothing Is Real, a podcast about the Beatles. My name's Jason Carty.
My name's Stephen Cockcroft.
And we're live on tape from Dublin and Belfast. And today we've got another Nothing Is Real guest joining us in the Beatles pod, the one and only Mr. Kevin Godley. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing very well. Now, listeners, on the very slim chance you're unaware of the body of work of our guest today, Kevin Godley has been weaving his way in and out of all the best parts of popular culture for over 50 years. Whether it's as a quarter of 10cc or half of Godley and Cream, he's also been the man behind some iconic music videos for U2, Duran Duran, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, as well as up-and-comers George Harrison, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and together as the Beatles. Amazingly, it has taken until 2020 for Kevin to release his debut solo album, Muscle Memory, which comes out in December. And currently he's putting out a new track from that every fortnight, wherever you stream your music. So 2020 hasn't been all bad if we're getting a new Kevin Godley album. But all roads kind of lead to the big project, which is actually directing a Beatles video, the Real Love video. And yeah. That's
I call it the Threetles.
The Threetles, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, did you, you know, it seems the Anthology project, you know, there's an awful lot of back and forth between the Threetles themselves. And was it the fact that you'd worked with each one of them individually before that, you know, you ticked the box three times, or how did it end up becoming something you got involved in?
I'm trying to remember the chronology of this. There was another project I did for Paul, and I can't recall if it was after this or before it. He was touring.
It was 93. It was before. You did the tour film.
Yeah, when I did a pre-stage film for them. So when was Real Love?
Real Love was 95.
So in other words, we worked together a few times before. We knew each other. Mm. At the time, we were neighbours as well.
Ah.
So, yeah, we lived reasonably close to each other. And I think that they'd already had a hit with the previous song, which was that very, it was beautiful.
Free as a bird.
Sort of flying camera that went into elements of from their past. And they wanted to do something this time that was a little more documentary-based and using archive footage. It was, again, a thrill, obviously. And the archive footage was brilliant. you could really get the sense that they were really enjoying what the hell was happening to them. However ridiculous it got and outrageous it got, they found ways to have fun with it. And that was so clear on the footage. They were having a ball.
So this is the video camera footage that you got, is it, of the three of them in the studio? No.
You mean
what was the series they did at the time? They did a very big series, a retro series, the history of the Beatles.
Anthology.
Yeah. And we had access to to some of that footage.
Okay.
And there's quite a bit of that footage in it, alongside the fly on the wall stuff of the studio. I wasn't there for that, by the way. This was stuff that was being filled anyway. My role was really to come up with a bit of glue, if you like, visual glue, which was, I took the idea of Yoko's original film of John in super slow motion and had the other three do it as a kind of link. But there was another few things like the John's white piano rising up out of the Mersey and some Beatle memorabilia floating through the air. I don't know. I just kind of felt that yes, of course it can be archive-based and documentary-based and have that kind of fly-on-the-wall vibe about it, but you can't really do anything about the Beatles without some magic.
Yes.
Something magical, something... I don't like the word psychedelic particularly, but something that's reminiscent of that. So that's creatively what I brought to it. And the rest was just archive and then just playing around in the edit. There is an embarrassing story about the edit that we were given a mix to work with. And the record wasn't actually out yet, I don't think.
There was a lot of secrecy at the time.
There was. Mm. And the mix was a rough mix, and John's voice was very low in the mix. And it wasn't a good listen. You know, being a musician, when I'm working to a piece of music, I like to hear the music. And it wasn't all there.
Yeah.
So to make it clear for me, just for the purposes of the edit and as a workaround, I went into a little sound studio and sang over the top of John, just so I could hear the fucking song. And then we worked to that.
Yeah.
And somehow it got leaked onto the internet.
Hmm.
So it's out there somewhere, you know, John, Paul, George, Ringo, and Kev.
We'll have to go looking for that.
Yeah, you will. I'm sure you will.
But that would have made you one of the first people to hear those Threetle reunion songs. That's a heavy burden if you don't like it or if you think, oh, I don't want to.
I didn't hear them. I only heard that one.
That one? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But you know what, Buzz?
Absolutely.
What a thing. You know, I John was the only one that I never met. Mm. Obviously met the others, both in their solo incarnations and as three. But it's one of those moments in your life that you kind of cherish.
So did that project bring you face to face with the three of them at the same time, or were you kind of working in isolation?
No, they were all, I filmed them all separately.
Yeah, because those bits are lovely where you interstill with you intermix with the John.
Yes.
They're absolutely stunning.
That was just a matter of, it kind of feels like they're in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
But it was just a matter of finding shots that made that idea work or coming across them and then thinking, oh, if I make that happen before there, it looks like John's looking at Paul or whatever.
Mm.
I mean, those things are quite simple. It's just deciding which shots to use is just part of the editing process.
And
an editing process probably more than anything else.
And were you given a relatively free hand in how it was put together? Or was there, I mean, one of the things that Jason and I have talked about before about the whole anthology project is this idea of the compromises that the three individuals are making in putting the team together. So George gets Jeff Lynn as the producer, Paul gets Jeff Emmerich, who is his man, and then George gets someone else who is his man. And arguably you're the one person that all three of them would have ticked the box to say, yes, we're all very happy with him. Because you'd worked with them all before.
I guess. I never thought of it like that. I didn't actually know what you just told me.
Yeah,
I mean, the whole Jeff as well. Did they have three Jeffs?
Well, maybe that was it. The whole project is a compromise in like picking.
Right.
Mark Lewis, and the author, has described it as children picking a team in a playground. You know,
right.
But it did occur to us. Jason and I were talking before this and saying that you're probably the one person involved in that project that had the confidence of all three of them, having worked with them all before.
I never thought that, but that is lovely. Mm. That is lovely.